Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by our great friends over at touringplans.com. Be the hero of your family. You know that you're headed down to Walt Disney World or out to the Disneyland Resort here in the next year. You need to keep your family and friends out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible. Let's face it, you always want that Disney vacation planning video moment. You want to get around the crowds and keep having fun. And the best way to ensure that you can do just that is to have a touringplans.com premium subscription. It's going to give you everything you need for an amazing Walt Disney World or Disneyland Resort vacation. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 715 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. I hope that everybody had a great Father's Day yesterday, or if you're one of those people who grabs the podcast right as it comes out, it is late Sunday night. Hopefully you're still having a great Father's Day wherever you are in the world. And today you're going to get a little extended Father's Day because we have three dudes talking Disney today. So, you know, nothing better to wrap up Father's Day than that. And we're going to do something a little bit different today and talk about one of the great experiences that I don't think many of you, and myself included, have ever experienced yet. And that's an Adventures by Disney trip to a very exotic location. So we have two of the agents from the Magic for Less joining us today who have just recently returned from Peru and in ABD down to South America. So joining me today, we have Steve Baker from the Magic for Less Travel. How's it going, Steve?
It's going great. Looking forward to talking about Peru and Adventures by Disney.
Sounds great. And we also have his buddy, because you guys were on the show together one other time too. We have Rick Flack from the Magic for Less. How's it going, Rick?
It's going well, thank you.
All right.
It's going to be another fun time.
That's right. It's so glad to have you guys back. I remember last time it was just trying to keep everything on track here, you know, so I may be in for a bumpy ride here with this this show again, because you guys crack me up. So let's talk a little Adventures by Disney, because it's one of those things that I think we hear about kind of on the periphery as a Walt Disney World fan or a Disneyland fan, you know, somebody who stays in the States and sees the theme parks for what they are. But, you know, many of us have been to the parks, you know, time and time again. And, you know, maybe we've ventured out to Disney Cruise Line to, you know, to maybe see the Bahamas, the Caribbean, maybe Alaska. But I think maybe, you know, in the progression of things, just how I see it from kind of an outsider, this might be the next natural step beyond maybe the Disney Cruise Line to get that next Disney experience. So, Rick, do you want to kind of explain what Adventures by Disney is for folks that really don't have an idea on that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So Adventures by Disney is Disney's guided tour arm. So it is a group of 35 people, and that can be adults and children. And you go to locations all across the world, non-Disney locations. There is one adventure that does visit Disney-themed things, and that's Southern California. But in the course of your guided tour, you get to experience the best of culture and tourist attractions and things that you would never be able to do on your own to these exotic locations. So, you know, we just got back from Peru. I've been lucky enough to do Ecuador and the Galapagos, and I've done Wyoming as well. But they have adventures to China and Europe and all over the place. And it is probably one of the best vacations that you will ever go on. Disney has just done an incredible job in putting together these trips.
That sounds awesome. I mean, it does sound like something that, you know, while it's non-Disney, I would feel like you have that comfort of the Disney brand traveling with you. Like, you know, it's going to be a first-class experience where, you know, if I'm traveling somewhere outside the country, somebody being from the Midwest, from St. Louis, who doesn't have any experience getting outside the country other than, you know, when you go on a cruise, you're in a, you know, a port for 8 hours and, you know, it's very touristy. I would think that there's a little safety in that. So Steve, I mean, is that kind of how you feel? One of the great things about Adventures by Disney is, you know, it's going to be first class all the way.
I mean, absolutely. This was my first adventure. And again, so Rick kind of knew what he was getting into. I didn't. And that really came true for me. Going to someplace like Peru, where it is maybe a little bit more exotic, maybe, or more adventurous. And we did find out that this trip that we were on was Disney's most strenuous trip. And we can talk more about that. But going to more, maybe a more of a third world as opposed to going to like Paris or London, you know, just having that comfort shield that Disney was taking care of all the details for you, had done all of the legwork for us. And was kind of there to like say, this is where we go, this is what we do, translating, you know, in Spanish. I'm not fluent in Spanish by any stretch of the imagination. And so having, you know, somebody who could speak the language was just really comforting. And just from the moment we got there until the moment we left, you know, they really had us under their shepherd. It was fantastic.
All right, so you kind of mentioned, like, you know, planning and getting ready to go for one of these trips. And, you know, of course, we are sponsored by the Magic for Less Travel. Pam does a lot for our podcast. We love having her as a member of the team. And we do believe in the agency. We always want to take care of our guests. And, you know, you two have the experience with Adventures by Disney. But let's talk about the planning, because I would think that, you know, planning a Walt Disney World vacation, is, for some people, it's like a military operation. You got a lot to do. But, I mean, it's a whole different set of things when you're thinking about going somewhere. Maybe, Rick, you could speak to this, like, because you've been to the Galapagos. I mean, I can't even imagine where you would start with that. I mean, of course, you would want to, contact a travel planner like yourselves, you know, or somebody that you're very comfortable with. And I think that would be a logical first step, right?
Absolutely. You know, the benefit of traveling with Adventures by Disney is that the planning is very simplified. So you obviously want to use a travel agent who is knowledgeable as far as, you know, making sure that everything is coordinated and planned for prior to your adventure. But once the adventure starts, you don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
What we talked about on this last adventure that's really hard for us as travel agents is all you have to do for an Adventures by Disney trip is get yourself to the airport in the destination. Once you have landed at that airport and made your way through customs, there is somebody standing there waiting for you with a sign. They're going to put you on a car. It's going to take you to your hotel. You're going to meet your adventure guide there. Your adventure guide's going to give you your room key. You're going to know what time you meet the next morning. And all of your meals and all of your activities and your transportation and everything else are all taken care of. You have two adventure guides who are there to make sure that whatever need you have is met. And they're going to make sure that if you have a problem with your plumbing in your bathroom or anything like that, you're taken care of. If you need some kind of cold medicine, they're going to help you find a store to do that. And it's beneficial to not have to know any of those things. So what's difficult as a travel agent is not to know exactly where I need to be and when I need to be there, because somebody else has done all that for me.
Yeah.
And I think it'd be very true of our listeners, because our listeners tend to, you know, even though a lot of them do work with our agents, and we so appreciate that because it supports everything we do, you know, they know that they like the planning's half the fun, you know, because we get that as well. You know, you stay involved by being in the planning. But like you said, it sounds like, Rick, the way you described it, like you have a concierge right there with you that's also experiencing the culture and, you know, kind of does like a kind of a dual role there.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And, you know, for Galapagos and Peru as well, we flew into one city the first night, spent the first night in one city, took a plane to the next city. In Peru, we were there for 5 nights, and then we took a plane back to the first city. For Galapagos, we took a plane to the shore where we got on a cruise ship. Well, no, we took a plane from Ecuador to the Galapagos, sorry, where we got on a cruise ship and cruised around the island. So, you know, all of that coordination and making sure that your flights are on time and you have all of those things, Disney has done an amazing job of making sure that all goes off without a hitch. And if there is a hitch, you never will know it.
That's so comforting to know when you're that far from home. So,
right.
All right.
Steve mentioned the benefit of having someone who speaks the language is also really good.
You don't want to just make it up as you go.
Right.
Right.
You know, got somebody there who can can communicate with the locals if you have a need or if you need, you know, if there's something that you need. So that's always helpful in a foreign country.
All right. Well, Steve, tell us about, you know, okay, so let's get into your Peru adventure that you guys, you know, went on a month or two ago now, and you're back and you've reflected. Okay, you get on the plane, like Rick said, you know, you just got to get there. They take care of you. They pick you up. So let's kind of pick it up from there, because this was your first adventures by Disney. So what were your thoughts initially upon arriving, you know, at this destination?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I've traveled foreign abroad before, but I'd not been to South America before. So, you know, when we get there, and like Rick said, after we got through customs, once we got through customs, I was like, oh gosh, where could they be? And boom, they were there. I mean, we really didn't have more than a millisecond to think, I don't know who I'm looking for, because they were standing there with a paddle, with a sign saying Adventures by Disney. So we're greeted right there. And there were some other folks on our adventure who were actually on our flight as well. And the four of us were transported to our hotel for the first night. The next morning, again, we were greeted by our adventure guides. We got in really late. We had a pretty late flight. I think we got in midnight. And by the time we finally got to the hotel, maybe close to 1 a.m. So, you know, the next day, the adventure really started. And like Rick said, we were on a flight the next day from Lima to Cusco, where we spent five days there. Every morning, you know, we woke up, and the night before we were told, meet at this time, this is what's going to happen. We were told where to be and what to do. They took care of every little detail, like Rick said, from luggage, transportation. We didn't touch, this was one of the greatest things about the Adventures by Disney trip, I thought, and it's a little detail, but we didn't touch our luggage once, other than getting it from customs when we landed in Lima, and then bringing it back into the airport when we departed for the United States.
Wow.
Disney took care of our luggage, and it was amazing. And one of the nights, one of the mornings, we saw all the pieces of luggage for our entire group. We're probably talking hundreds of pieces of luggage for our group alone. But they went ahead, and then you walked into your room. It's like the cruise almost. It's right there at your door. It was actually in the room. So, you know, that little detail was great. And then, you know, just the destinations that the places we visited were, you know, amazing. We did a whitewater raft. I mean, if you want to dive into some of the things that we did day by day or how you want to do that, Mike.
Yeah, let's go for it. I mean, because I think, you know, we want to try to get as much as we can here in this limited amount of time. So you mentioned it was strenuous, and I think that they kind of have something for everybody, but it seems like this would be one that would be right up my alley. I think this would be a blast.
You know, it really was very cool. I mean, and when I say strenuous, we had some seniors on our trip that did really well. And we had some people that were certainly younger than Rick and I, who did, you know, good as well, too. This trip being strenuous in that there was so much activity going on that you weren't maybe like, you know, maybe when you're in a European destination, you might be visiting more of a museum or things like that. This was actually a lot of hiking, a lot of walking, a lot of climbing. I don't even remember how many steps we climbed in Machu Picchu, Rick, something like 152 flights of steps that day, or maybe 192.
I was thinking it was 179, but somewhere in there, yes.
Somewhere in between 150 and 200. It was a lot of steps.
It doesn't matter. When you get up that high, it doesn't matter. You climbed a ton.
Right? I mean, I got all these records and awards on my Fitbit that day. So just for that one day in Machu Picchu. But you know, on our first day, we did a whitewater rafting adventure in 54-degree water, which was actually a blast. And once you got splashed the first time, you were numb.
That's cold.
It was pretty cold, but we had wetsuits on. And, you know, again, the cool thing, Disney took care of us. They, you know, we had everything we needed. No one was questioning, what do? Where do we go? Changing rooms for men, changing room for women. You know, they were right there giving us instructions. They had, when we were done, they had, you know, heated tents for us to change back into street clothes in, warm towels and snacks. And a sidebar, that's another thing that Disney does really well of. Anytime you're hungry, it's like a cruise. Anytime you're hungry, well, they've got snacks for you. They've got water. We don't have to worry about, like, you know, I want something to nibble on, or I need water, especially in a high altitude place. You need a lot of water. They had it for us all the time. We didn't have to worry about it once. But, you know, on that day we did a rafting adventure. We had lunch at a local hostel.
I'm going to chime in. The meals are incredible.
Absolutely.
It's not like you're getting a McDonald's hamburger or a theme park food.
Nothing
you're getting
like that.
Local, high quality food. Disney doesn't go cheap on these adventures. That's for sure.
But let me ask you guys this, because I was going to bring up the food later, but this is a good time to get it. So do they seek out kind of like the, I don't know, like the mom and pop place that's kind of a great representation of the town or the city or, you know, the locale that you're in? Or do they, I don't know how they go about finding these genuinely culturally correct experiences with the food. Is that how they go about it?
Yes and no. I mean, a lot of our meals were actually, and this might be different in by destination as well, but a lot of our meals were at, so we were at, what, three different hotels? So a lot of our meals were actually at the resort. We stayed at a ranch. A ranch doesn't even begin to describe it, but we stayed at the most amazing ranch in the Sacred Valley, 5-star. And, one night they did something called I'm going to totally slaughter it, Pachamanca, which is where they actually bury food in a heated pit and cook it with hot stones. So, and that was by the chef there. We had dinner in the resort or the ranch's restaurant two nights. Lunch was usually provided like at a local hostel. We went to a weaving demonstration on one of the days. We had lunch there. And again, amazing food that's very unique to the culture, but yet very palatable. I mean, we did eat guinea pig a couple of times.
Seriously, I didn't know people ate guinea pig.
And yeah, they're not pets. they're not pets down there. But we had alpaca, so we had some unusual things, but it was all very palatable, very very fresh, freshly made. But there were some places like in Cusco where on our first day there, where we went to what I would call maybe more of a mom and pop place. It was a buffet lunch, but it wasn't what I would call maybe, a place that like a chain type of place. It was very unique to Cusco.
Let me ask you something else too about this, because, you know, meals tend to bring people together. You said, I think Rick mentioned you go in a group of 30 to 35 or somewhere in that area. I would imagine that within the group, even though you're probably from all over the world, you know, all over the country, that, you know, a couple days in, you're probably developing some pretty tight friendships already, because, you know, going through this experience together, I would imagine, you know, things like whitewater rafting, if you're sharing a raft or something like that, it could bond people pretty quickly. Did you guys notice that?
Absolutely. So,
yeah.
The group that we were on, I don't even think it took us much after the first day to start to gel. So the first day, you know, we met, we were in breakfast. It was on our own at the restaurant at the hotel. And then we met in the lobby, got on a bus, went to the airport. And by that time, as we were walking through the airport, people are starting to chat one with another. And so by that end of that first day, I think we pretty much started to build these friendships. And by the end of the trip, I think all of us had spent quality time with all the others. I don't think there was anyone who didn't fit in or make the group mesh. I want to talk about my experience in Wyoming. I went on that trip with my wife and two kids. And they were, I'm going to say, 9 and 12, maybe 11 and 8, somewhere in there. And we got to Wyoming, we met our adventure guides, and the first night we met in the lobby of the hotel, we walked to a local restaurant. They had a get to know you event, so we had to go talk to people and find out things about them, had dinner, had a show, walked back to the hotel on our own, but there was a group of conversation that was taking place between the adults. The kids were still kind of staying to each other. The next day, we met for breakfast, and then we did a bike ride that morning in the Tetons, and a whitewater raft that afternoon down this Snake River. The next morning at breakfast, all of the kids found each other and said, "We're all sitting at the back of the bus." And from then on, the kids were all together at the back of the bus. What that did was that allowed us as adults to converse, build friendships, and cohesively come together as a group. And the kids had friends. We didn't have to worry about the kids. It was really an amazing experience to watch that almost instant transformation of what was a set of individual families to a group of 35 people who were truly enjoying one another's company. It was a great experience. And I've talked to other people who've done it, and they've had the exact same experiences on their adventures.
That's great to hear. I mean, it's something you, I think, you know, it's secondary. You don't think of like, I'm going on Adventures by Disney to, you know, in quotes, make friends. But I would think that just the nature of going through a shared experience like that, you know, something that is so different than what you normally have in your everyday life, that it's going to bring people together quickly. Because, and especially I think a great tour guide or adventure guide, as Disney calls them, is going to kind of, you know, maybe not, they're not going to force that, but maybe they're going to be experienced enough to see that, you know, there's chances here to bring people together. And when we do that, we kind of make it better for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Disney does a great job through that, through like just, I mean, through their whole storytelling. And that's really what an adventure is all about, is storytelling. And they really emphasize that throughout really every day of the trip. And it just, it's very organic. It's very natural. And it just happens. You know what I mean? Like Rick was, I think really it really started happening on the flight. Because we were all kind of scattered about the plane. Rick and I, we ended up sitting across the aisle from each other on the flight. But, you know, but I chatted mostly with the two people next to me. He chatted mostly with the two people next to him. You know, wives and husbands were separated, just not intentional, just how things were assigned. And everybody just kind of got to know each other on that flight. So by the time we landed, and then you're on a bus together, and there's a lot of, I won't say cramped quarters, but there's a lot of group activity going on in a small, intimate kind of setting. And that was a really cool byproduct. I didn't really kind of expect it to happen. I heard about it. I've heard clients that come back and say, you know, we've got lifelong friends. You know, we're on Facebook now. We keep in touch. And that's exactly what happened with this group. And even just a couple of days ago, someone posted a group shot of us at Machu Picchu, one of the fellow adventurers, and said, I miss everybody.
I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, here we are 10 years after my Wyoming adventure, or roughly in there somewhere, and I'm still in contact with the majority of the people who were on that adventure.
That is awesome. That is awesome. I mean, because, you know, and because, I mean, I think our audience can totally relate to that, because so many of us have met through the podcast, and basically we all met just because we're Disney fans. You know, we just happened to be at Walt Disney World at the same time. And, you know, this is something that I think would even bring people together more quickly than, you know, meeting up in a theme park, which works as well. So maybe, Rick, talk to us about more of Peru. You know, Steve mentioned some of the adventures you went on. Anything else you'd like to add that people could get, you know, a taste of what this was like in going with Steve? I mean, I think it would be fun to go with a buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Going with a friend was a lot of fun. And, you know, whether you go with a friend or whether you go with a your family, you're still going to have a great time because of the people that you're with. I have to say that my Galapagos adventure, I went by myself. I went on an adults-only excursion, and every person on that excursion was there as a single. And that was an interesting dynamic. That we came together even faster there than we did on another adventure, because we didn't know anybody. I mean, we were all there as one person, not knowing anybody else in the group. And it didn't take much time for us to gel there. But, you know, some of the things that we did in Peru were incredible. Everybody talks about going to Machu Picchu and seeing that incredible town in the top of the mountains. And it was beautiful, and it was really cool. And we got to hear stories while we were there about what they believe took place in this area, and why they think that it is where it is, and all of the history behind it. But we went to other ruins, the terraces of Moray, that instead of being terraces that go up the mountain, these go down into an indentation in the earth, and what the philosophy behind them is. And we went to, see, Steve said he was going to butcher a word, and I'm going to completely butcher a word. We went to Oye Ante Tombo, which is another ruin area. It's a temple. And I actually think that was more spectacular than Machu Picchu. And again, we had this storytelling, and we learned about what what daily life was like for the people that lived, you know, there 500 years ago. And they do things in these locales to help the junior adventurers, which is what they call children, understand and keep them engaged. Because as we're walking through ruins, kids aren't always going to be entertained, but they will have at Oyante Tambo, they had the kids act out a story about why this temple is named what it is, why it was built, and then something similar at the terraces of Moray. They talked about how the culture in Peru didn't have a written language and how they would communicate between villages what was taking place in each village, which was really cool. And we got to see salt pans, and we got to wander the colonial area of Cusco. Steve and I, we had a free afternoon one day, and we wandered to a local open air market where we got to see vendors selling any food product that you could imagine, from from pork to guinea pig to horse to fresh fruit, beautiful fresh fruit, fresh smoothies. And that's not something that you often get to do or experience. And so, and that was, you know, that was recommended to us by our adventure guide. They had watched what we were doing throughout the trip. And then when we had this free afternoon, we talked to our adventure guide, and he said, you know what you guys would like? Here's directions to the market. Go see what's going on down there. And I'm really glad we did.
Me too.
So, it's a complete vacation, I guess, is what I want to say.
So how, you know, when you're going through the adventure, and you mentioned you had a little free time there to kind of go off exploring by yourself. I mean, it is most of the time booked up, you know, with we're going to do this, or do they schedule in downtime? Like, I mean, I don't know, maybe you're really tired from a day over at Machu Picchu and you need to take a nap or something. I mean, how's that work?
So they do schedule some downtime. There are some meals that are on your own, and certainly no one's required to participate in anything. There was one day where after the Moray, I was not feeling really well that day. And so we got back to the ranch when everybody went to go have lunch, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to go take a nap. I was able to do that without feeling, you know, whatever, any pressure or anything like that. It was, you know, my choice. We had a couple of people who stayed back in terms of like maybe doing some of the more adventurous climbs. We had a little free time, even at Machu Picchu, once the guided tour was over, and at Oye Tambo, we had some free time where we could just go explore on our own as well. So you were given some free time to kind of maybe do something on your own. We had a night in Cusco where we had free time. And one of our adventure guides knew a former adventure guide who was giving haunted tours of the city. And he said, hey, this is an optional thing. If you want to do it, we're going to meet up with this guy and he's going to give us this haunted tour of the city. And about half of our group decided to do it. And it was at additional cost, but we decided to do it. We also got a off the books tour of one of the churches in the market square at Cusco, from one of our adventure guides, Harvey, who's from there originally. And, you know, I had been in so many churches in Europe and you know, Rick and I said, you know, well, let's do it. But my mentality was like, once you've seen one church, you've seen them all. And so I wasn't really terribly excited about it, but I will tell you, after doing it, Harvey knew every square inch of that church. He knew every painting. He knew why it was what it meant. He knew everything that was represented in that church. And it was literally the best church tour I've had in my life. So glad we did that. And again, that was off the books as well too. So, you know, we were given some opportunity to have some free time. We were given some opportunity to do some things as a group off the book, so to speak. And then of course we had a complete structure as well. So for me, it was great because we had a little bit of combination of both. He wanted to shop. Like one night, Rick and I went out shopping for, you know, some stuff for our families. So we were able to have that time where we were able to get away and do some things, either maybe on our own, or sometimes we did some things with our fellow adventurers as well. It was a very nice mix of it.
Let me ask you this, because you mentioned the adventure guides, you know, and some of them are, you know, like you said, you hooked up with one that wasn't doing it anymore, but, you know, still was, you know, doing stuff within the town there. These adventure guides, are they locals? Do they travel to these places? I mean, tell me about your adventure guide and their background that makes them so good at what they do with Adventures by Disney. Maybe Rick, you could take that.
Yeah. So our adventure guides on this adventure, one is from here in the States. He actually has a full-time job as a Disneyland tour guide or guest relations person. So he knows Disney service. And then our second adventure guide is a citizen of Peru. In Latin America, on the three Latin American adventures, you will always have a U.S.-based adventure guide and a local adventure guide. That's the only place that happens. Everywhere else, the adventure guides are Disney employees. What they understand is the Disney service and the Disney brand, and they do their incredible job very well. The guides that I had when we did Quest for the West in Yellowstone, the Tetons, and Wyoming were, again, someone who worked at Disneyland. And then our other guide had been a Yellowstone Park ranger.
Nice.
And then went over to be an adventure guide. So he had all this incredible knowledge about Yellowstone Park and did such a great job of getting us all engaged. And then in Ecuador, we had a Disney employee and then also a local person who lived in Ecuador.
That's like the best of both worlds, though, because you want that Disney, you know, customer service that they're known for. I mean, that's all I hear about with Adventures by Disney is just how first class everything is and how it, you know, you're under the Disney brand. Everything is taken care of. You know, you're going to be in first class accommodations all the time. But then again, you need that cultural liaison, you know, that's comfortable with, you know, hey, I've been here, done that. I know how these things work. So that sounds very cool. Now, let me ask you this, Steve, because we're, you know, running long, but I want to go, you know, a few more minutes here and talk about some of these things. In 2015, you know, about a month ago, Disney announced the itineraries for the 2015 season with Adventures by Disney. So I know they have, you know, some long weekends to, say, California, San Francisco area.
Yeah.
They've opened up New York, you know, and they have some other exotic places. If you want to go to some of these big, you know, Adventures by Disney places, maybe a bucket list kind of thing, or, you know, a big celebration, a big, you know, life celebration. You know, what would you get out there to tell people, hey, man, check this out. You might not have ever considered Adventures by Disney, but this might be something you want to think about.
Yeah, you know, I will say, if you want to go to really any destination and have an immersive tour that tells you the story of the culture and immerses you in not just going to see whatever site it might be, but you're knowing you're going to know that site intimately because you're going to be given the history of it and the story of it, then pick a destination, throw a dart at the map, or pick it off your bucket list and look seriously at an Adventures by Disney trip, because you're going to be taken care of from the minute you get there. Even in New York City, you know, which might be a place, or San Francisco, which are the two domestic destinations for those mini weekend trips, you're going to be the minute you get there, you're going to be taken care of, and you're going to be, you know, ushered behind the scenes. You know, a lot of Adventures by Disney trips, you things that have lines you're going to bypass. So, you know, pick a destination that you've always wanted to go to and seriously look at an adventure to take you there, because you're going to see things that you always have wanted to see, and you're going to see things that you never, ever knew existed. And you're going to come back so more, worldly, if that's, you're just going to come back more open to what that destination was all about, and just having these lifelong friendships we talked about. And I don't know if this is maybe the right time to maybe mention it, but Rick and I are actually going to be hosting a trip to Paris and London, the European city. What's it called, Rick? The official title of it, the City of Knights and Lights.
Knights and Lights. Yep.
On July 27th of next year. You know, we won't be obviously the guides on that trip, but we're going to be accompanying our clients on that trip from the Magic for Less Travel, and taking them to see some amazing things in London and some amazing things in Paris, and we're looking forward to doing that. But most importantly, pick a destination you want to go to that you want to take your family on, that you want to go to as a couple or as a family or as friends like Rick and I did, and seriously look into it, because the value for what you get is actually incredible.
You know, I've never been on Adventures by Disney yet. I would, you know, there's a lot of them, like the Wyoming one. You know, the domestic ones are kind of where I'm gonna, you know, thinking about starting, because I've been to Yellowstone, I've been to Yosemite, I've been to the national parks out west, you know, but I want to go back and have experiences, because the thing is, I saw them on a very surface level. You know, you go through as a tourist and you pay your money for the day to go through the park and you see some buffalo from your car, and you know, that's about as deep as your experience is. You know, I want to go deeper because those places are awesome. And like you said, you can go around the world. And the way I kind of see it is, somebody from an outsider's point of view with Adventures by Disney at this point, is I kind of draw the parallels with like Disney Cruise Line. And you know, I could go on a cheaper cruise and go to the same place, you know, but I'm not going to have, the ship's not going to be quite as opulent. You know, the service isn't going to be there. The meals, the entertainment, you know, all these ships have those things. You eat, you see shows, you have a stateroom, but you don't have the space. You don't have the Disney shows. You don't, you know, I think that's kind of, I mean, am I on the right track here, Steve? Kind of like a comparison like that?
No, you're, it's the next level above it. You're absolutely on the right track. And, you know, when you're talking about just having that Disney overlay on, whether it's a cruise experience or a global tour somewhere, I think anybody who sailed on the Disney Cruise Line is probably going to relate to what that next level might be, especially if you sailed on the Disney Cruise Line, maybe to some of the foreign ports as well. You're really going to get just an amazing experience. No, it's not Disney princesses. It's not Mickey. It's not Minnie. It's not parks, which we all absolutely love and adore. But it's that level of service that anybody who knows what the brand stands for, is going to experience. So you hit it on the head, absolutely, Mike. Taking that cruise experience to the next level.
It's not princesses. It's not Mickey. This is not a trip with Disney characters.
No.
So if you are someone who has a member of your family who isn't Disney crazy like the rest of us are, they're concerned that they're going to go and Mickey Mouse is going to show up at Machu Picchu and there's going to be Small World characters dancing around, it is not that kind of vacation. The only indication that you are on a Disney trip is pin trading.
Yeah.
That's it. And, yep. And Steve shirts.
And Steve shirts. Rick had them too.
Yeah, that's good.
All of my shirts were Mickey too.
Okay, there you go. Well, you know, I think this is it's been a great discussion about what Adventures by Disney is, the fun you guys had. So, Steve, again, give us the dates on that trip. And I believe it's next summer, 2015, over to Europe. And I think that'd be a great way for people to, you know, if you're curious about going and, you know, you have Disney fans who are fans of the parks here, and, you know, you would already have a friendly face within the group. So give our listeners, you know, and we have a lot of folks who support the Magic for Less, so maybe they'll think about traveling to Europe next summer.
Yeah, so again, it's July 27th, 2015, with on the London and Paris trip. And for folks who are big Disney fans, you know, there's Disneyland Paris can always, you know, can be added on there at the end. For a couple of days, you want to do that. But we are in the beginning process of trying to put everything together. We're still working with ABD to finalize some of the details. But we're ready to start booking folks on this trip. We've had some interest already from some folks that we've talked to, and we are really looking forward to hosting it.
All right, so if you want to get in contact with these guys, you can always drop by themagicforless.com. And Steve Baker, it's an email, steve.baker@themagicforless.com. And Rick, I always email Steve all the time, but Rick, is your email just, it's rick@themagicforless.com, or do you have your last name? I can't remember.
No, it is just Rick, and Rick is spelled without a K, just R-I-C at magicforless.com.
All right, so get in touch with either one of these guys if you'd like to travel, or you know, just get some information, because I think that's where it starts. You know, hey, just find out what it's all about and, you know, make that call down the road. But this is something that I don't think you want to say, oh, I'm never going to do this. Because the thing is, maybe you said that about Walt Disney World one time, and here you are listening to a Disney podcast, you know, so hey, I'm looking at you. But guys, I appreciate the time today, and it sounds like you had a wonderful time, and come back, and we'll talk about that next adventure over to Europe.
We'll look forward to it.
All right, thanks a lot, Rick. Good. I appreciate it. All right. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. And one thing you're not going to need when you're on an Adventures by Disney trip is touringplans.com, because you're not going to stand in line. I have a feeling they're going to kind of move the red velvet rope for you. But, you know, when you're in the parks and there's, you know, a 300-minute wait for Elsa and Anna, maybe you need a touring plan so you can get around those lines and see the most amount of attractions possible. They've been doing this for years. They're going to keep you out of lines, having a great time down at the Walt Disney World Resort and out at Disneyland as well. So check them out today and support the folks who support us over at touringplans.com. Please check out Magical Mouse Radio this week for great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're right there at magicalmouseradio.com. Don't forget tomorrow, Tuesday, background loops for 22 straight hours. Your favorite day of the week. It's our biggest day. It's over at magicalmouseradio.com. Check out the show on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the forums over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. So we're going to get out of here and let you get on to your next adventure, which unfortunately is probably work today, but you know, hopefully you're having a good time with it, and we appreciate you starting the week by downloading the show. So for Steve and Rick, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.